You at your core are not defined by cancer. You at your core are not defined by disease, because who you are at your core is your soul. That's what is redeemed. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So when you start to think of yourself in spiritual terms, when the Bible claims that it will provide everything, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, that it provides everything for life and godliness, I would offer this to you, that when you bend your will to the will of the Father, what you'll find is that you will be blessed here in this life, but you will be God-honoring as your eyes are turned to God and your life is being led in the direction that God would have you to go. That will take care of enough. That's why if I don't have the new car, I'm still okay. If I never get a brand new house, I'm still okay. If my body fails me, I'm still okay, because I have the will of God in my life. And the Bible says that is enough, that it provides all that I need. It never lacks. That's because I'm not living to stay here. I'm not living to stay here because I want to be with my Lord. 119th Psalm, I thought it was very interesting. That was read a little earlier regarding concepts around how the Word of God provides. You think about what is said in verse 9 of the 119th Psalm about the provision of the Word of God. And I would offer this to you, that according to the will of God, there is a way for purity. And according to the will of God, there is a way for the absence of sin. And what I mean by that is where a lifestyle is not ingrained in habitual sin. Bible says, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? I want my sons and my daughter to be pure. But I don't just want them to be pure physically, sexually. I want them to be pure mentally. I want them to be pure spiritually. I want everything that they are to be directed to God. And I want their spouses in the future to also be pure individuals. How is that to be? It's to be, according to verse 9, by keeping it according to your word. If I continue to read with verse 10, the Bible says, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Church, I think sometimes we make excuses for why sin is a part of our life. We talk about our nature. We talk about how that's impossible, Joe, for me to not sin. I mean, after all, I'm in the flesh. After all, Jesus died on the cross. After all, I need the blood of Jesus still to this day. And you would be right in everything that you've just said. However, I think at times we use our humanity as an excuse, because there really is a point in your spiritual maturity and in mine that we are to move into the direction where sin is not my default, where sin is not something I will choose. Given the option to choose to do the will of God or to choose to sin, I am holy and completely devoted to God. Therefore, that choice is not going to be a regular occurrence within my life. I'm supposed to mature beyond that. How do I do that? Well, according to the Scripture, it's because my heart has changed. My heart has the will of God inside of it. How does that happen? How does an individual live such a life where the heart has the will of God? And I will offer this to you. It's not because you show up to a place 2 days a week. That's not going to cut it. What we do here today is for God's benefit, ultimately. It's for His praise. Now, we will reap secondary benefit of such. But what you're doing here today is showing praise and honor to God. What you do on Monday, what you do on Tuesday with your study habits, with your conversation with God, in the sense of you praying and then you listening to Him by His revealed will, that's where you grow, and that's where the will of God makes its way into your heart. Today is because it pours forth outside. It overflows. If you've ever found yourself struggling to worship God, I would offer this to you. It's not because He's not worthy. It may be because your heart doesn't have enough of His will to overflow to praise Him. That's the difference. And that's what I'm telling you, His will provide. As we continue to look that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, what we find is this, that the Bible is absolutely God-breathed. The Scriptures are inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Some have said it this way, that the Scripture tells you what is right, but the Scripture also tells us what is wrong. And when you think about the correction aspect, what it does is it tells us how to get right once we've done wrong. And then the idea of instruction and training in righteousness, it tells us how to stay right. It really has provided all that we need when we start understanding that we're not living for the temporary. The Word of God will outlast all. The Word of God provides all. And I would offer this to you. The Word of God overpowers all. What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is this. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Word of God is described as a sword. The Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible being described as a sword doesn't only happen there in Ephesians chapter 6. When I flip over to Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 12, what I come to understand is this, that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it'll cut you going and cut you coming out. That's the significance of a double-edged blade. He says, and it pierces as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When I tell you that it will overpower all, it's interesting to me to read how Jesus, when tempted, would go back to Scripture. When individuals, when threatened, would go back to the power of the revealed will and why that was significant in their life and why they had to continue to keep telling other people. Why was it that the apostles would put their life, on hold, but that's not accurate because their life changed. If you're just putting your life on hold today for your relationship with God, then you're missing the picture of what Christianity is all about. Life doesn't go on hold, life changes. Following Christ is your life. It's not simply something you do in a different category. And when you read through the Scriptures, I would offer this to you, overpowering all and defeating all doesn't mean that you don't suffer hardships in this life. But what it means is this, that the Word of God is able to pierce and get to the bottom, is able to get to where the rubber meets the road. It's able to get to the core of whether intentions are right or intentions are self-driven. The Word of God is able to challenge us in a way that nothing else is. Because when God has spoken to us regarding that they will know that He exists, they will know Him by the way we love one another, the reality is this. When God's Word says you are going to demonstrate whether God exists, it really does cut us. When the power to blaspheme the name of God is within our hands, it really does cut us. Because it can't be hidden. Who we are can't be hidden from the Word. Who we are can't be hidden. And so therefore, the truth is that when God says that through the Word that we will be set free, see that in John chapter 8, verse 31. He says, if you continue in my Word, then you're truly disciples of mine and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And according to the Scriptures, I know whether or not I'm imprisoned. I know whether or not I've been set free. And I can't hide that. I can't hide that. You see, the Word of God is more powerful than any bondage of sin. Because it's through the will of God, the Word of God, that we learn of Jesus Christ. And it's through His revealed will that we learn of the gospel. And through His revealed will that we learn of forgiveness and we learn of redemption. And I want to tell you today, and I appreciate, I had a friend of mine send me a text message just yesterday. I wish I had my phone. I would read it to you. He was a friend of my father's, and now he's sending me texts, and I know he's doing it to encourage me, but he sent me something yesterday, and he said, here's the deal. God's grace is more than able to deal with any of your sin. You look at that and say, why did he send that to a preacher? But I will tell you this. It was nice to hear it. It was nice to be reminded. This morning he wrote me back, and he said, here's the deal. It really is that strong. I will tell you this. Outside of the will of God, we don't know of God's grace. Outside of the will of God, we don't know what sin is. And I will tell you this, that word really does provide all. That's why I tell you today, it really is amazing. It's greater than the Grand Tetons. It's greater than Niagara Falls. It's greater than Lake Tahoe. It's greater than anything that you could imagine. That's why when we describe everything as amazing, we've got people that will describe t-shirts as amazing and video games as amazing. Some people may even describe a toothbrush as amazing. I'm not looking over in Todd's direction just because I was already there. And the idea is this. When we throw words out so often, it really does diminish the effect of the word. That's why I want you to hear today that the word of God is amazing. And you hold it in your hands. You have the privilege to study it today when you go home. You have the privilege to study it tomorrow when you get home from work. You have the privilege to open that book up again on Tuesday. You have the privilege to wake up Wednesday morning and spend 15 to 30 minutes in God's Word. And it is amazing what it will do in your life. I will tell you this, when you allow the Word to have its effect in your life, you'll see changes. Changes, I would offer this to you, that start off quite possibly with torn clothes. You say, what do you mean by torn clothes? Well, when Josiah, King Josiah, who became king at 8 years old, and the temple was decimated, the people who had come before him had not been following the will of God. And you know this, when Josiah had decided they were going to repair the temple, they were going to get in there and fix it, what happened is they actually discovered the book of the law in the house. And you would imagine that they had just discovered a treasure chest full of gold, but even that pales in comparison with what they found. And the reason I offer that to you is this, because Josiah would not have ripped his clothes if they had found money. Josiah would not have ripped his clothes if they had found maybe an artifact. Josiah ripped his clothes because he recognized that all of those who came before him, those kings who had been leading and the people that they were leading, that they had not been following the will of God. That's why I say sometimes it starts with torn clothes. Because sometimes you have to have that moment of mourning, that moment of change, that moment of release of, I cannot believe I've had this at my fingertips the whole time and all I've been doing is opening it on Sundays and Wednesdays. I can't believe I've done that. And individuals start to change. Individuals start giving the Word of God its place. That's what Josiah did. Josiah did so. 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "Then the king sent, and they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people entered into the covenant." What you'll find is that when you rediscover how amazing God's will is, not only will it maybe start with a ripping moment, but you will place Him back where it belongs in your life. You will dedicate yourself to the will of God. That doesn't happen because you open it occasionally. That happens because the heart is changed when you begin to understand truly that you do not hold a book in your hand. You hold the very words of God in your hand. Church, I will tell you this, that this is so significant that over in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses, before the children of Israel would go into the promised land, I should say the Hebrew people, they would go into the promised land. He lays out before them what is truly amazing about the Word of God. And he'll tell them in verses 44 and following, he says, "Then Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and Joshua the son of Nun. And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, 'Take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law, for it is not an idle word for you.' And then Moses said this, 'Indeed, it is your life.'" He said, "It's your life." And when you go back over to chapter 30, it's not only an identification of your life. He also then lays the challenge down. And he says, "Knowing that you hold life in your hands, I need you to understand something. You have the option to choose life or death." That's what Moses would say in chapter 30. He'll go on to say, verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments with all his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you're entering to possess it." He said, you know what the difference is? The difference is you know that life has been offered to you. Life has been offered by the will of God. It's been laid before you. Here's what's also amazing about the will of God, is that he gives you and I an opportunity to choose. He gives you an opportunity to choose. You can either choose life or you can choose death. Life is found in rendering submission to the will of God. Life is found in living a life of obedience to the will of God. But I will say this, it's not simply living it in an obedient manner like a 13-year-old kid goes and cleans their room even though they don't want to do what their mom and dad says. That's not what God's looking for. God is interested in transformed hearts. He's interested in transformed lives. And from those transformed hearts and those transformed lives will flow obedience to where his will literally becomes what we want to do. That's the message of the New Testament. That's why we must choose to lose ourselves so that we can gain eternity, in the sense of my will and my desires aren't just on the back burner, but they really are gone when it comes to me bringing forth my life before the will of God. That's why it's the difference between life and death. And I will tell you this today, the Word of God does outlast all, and it will outlast all. No matter what comes this way, no matter what floods come, no matter what fires come, no matter what earthquakes, no matter what tornadoes, no matter what wars, the truth of the matter is they can burn every Bible that we have in America, but the Word of God will continue. That's how powerful the Word of God is. It provides everything you need. You think about your marriage. You want a better marriage? You're not going to find it in man's ideas, because man's ideas change. There are plenty of Dr. Spocks that come along that tell you how to raise your children. But I will tell you this, the one that is the Almighty and never changing has revealed what it takes to have a happy marriage, what it takes to raise children, what it takes to be a good employee or a good employer. The will of God has given you what you need in this life. And more so than that, the will of God has provided what you need for eternity. Because it's only through the will that you do learn of forgiveness and you learn of the blood of Jesus. And I will tell you this, it overpowers all because you can't hide from it. It will take those who are on skid row and make them faithful Christians. You understand today that God's Word has the power to take an individual who's wrapped up in fornication and turn them pure before God, because that's where we find the forgiving nature and the power of the blood of Jesus. Do you understand today that you can come out of drug addiction? You can come out of alcoholism. And because what God has revealed to us in His Word, do you understand that you can be renewed and you can be changed to become what's pleasing in the eyes of God? And I would offer this to you, that it overpowers the bonds and the binding that Satan would offer in this flesh, the power of the Word of God really is that strong. That's why the Bible would say it's through the Word of God that they would tear down fortresses of speculations within the mind. The Bible would say it's through the gospel that it's the power of God for salvation. That good news, where do you hear the good news? Except through the revealed will of God. That's why I tell you today, the Word of God is amazing. It's not just a book. If up to this point in time you've been thinking of this physical book being the Word of God, the truth is this book will one day deteriorate. But you see, what's recorded here will never deteriorate. That's why it's amazing. Everybody that you know will eventually die, no matter how amazing you think they are, unless Jesus comes back first. Every one of those natural spots that I showed you before, they will one day be burned up. But the will of God will never. That's why I want you to know today that what you hold, it really is life. And you can choose life or death. That's why this morning, you say, Joe, why did you need to tell us of God's amazing Word? Didn't you think that we at Florence Boulevard would already know how important this is? And I would offer this to you. I think intellectually many people understand that this is the Word of God. Where I think we fail is to see how wonderful and glorious it is. And you say, Joe, how do you come to that conclusion? Here's why. Because the majority of Americans do nothing with this outside of Sundays and Wednesdays. Now, I would love to think everybody here is not in the majority in America who profess to be Christians, and that you regularly are involved in the study of God's Word. If it's not here, then it's on some type of electronic device or on a computer, on a phone, something along those lines. But I am also not going to be naive to think that everybody is. And here's what's interesting. When you truly understand it's amazing, then you won't be able to put it down. Have you ever watched a show and you just couldn't stop watching it? Because of how well it was recorded, how well the screenwriter was, how well the actors are. Those of you who love reading books, have you ever picked up a book you just couldn't put down? You know then what it is to be attached and to latch on and to not be able to look away. I wonder how many of us are able to put this down and look away. And how many of us are able to read this and say, well, it really kind of just puts me to sleep. That's why I say intellectually, I think we know this is the Word of God. I just don't know if we latch on to the fact that it's amazing. And so this morning, I wanted you to hear that. I wanted you to be challenged with that because it's my prayer that you will rediscover God's amazing truth that He has revealed to us. This morning, if you're not a child of God, the option is laid before you of life and death. And according to what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 30, that message really does run through the entirety of even the New Testament. And that's this, that individuals who choose to live contrary to the will of God, that they should not be surprised in the end when they are not on the right side of the judgment. Because Jesus is coming back, judgment is going to occur. And for those who have chosen not to submit their life to the Word of God, there's only an expectation of damnation. I don't know how else to say that. But see, the good news of the gospel is this, that if you choose life, that means that you submit your will to His. You confess Jesus as Lord. You're no longer Lord. Jesus is Lord. And you go all the way to the watery grave of baptism, being united with Jesus in the death, burial, and resurrection, according to Acts chapter 2, for the forgiveness of sin, where you will be resurrected to walk in newness of life. The good news is this, that the blood of Jesus is able to handle whatever sin is in your life. And so this morning, if you're not a child of God, I encourage you to choose life today. Do not, by inaction, by default, choose death. This morning, if you are a child of God, but the Word of God is not amazing in your life, then maybe that change can be made at home. Maybe there's rededication. Maybe there's just rediscovering what the Bible really is, and a rededication like in the day of Josiah. And maybe that begins with tearing of clothes. Maybe that begins with you seeking God. Maybe that begins with you putting God back in the place that He belongs. But I know this much, to leave this lesson today and just walk out and say, the Bible's just the Bible, that's not an option. Because when the Word of God is proclaimed, you have to make a choice. You will either choose to see the Bible as what it is, or you will choose to walk away and saying, I've heard what you've said, but I don't care what you've said. That's the crossroad that we are all at this morning. And so today, if there's anything we can do to help you at that crossroad, then we stand ready and we ask you to come forward as together we stand and as we sing.